Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. We're going to continue. Well, now that we've talked about the different theories of emotion, we're going to now go into a little bit more detail about emotions and talk about an article called The Emotion, Our Emotion Commotion.
Am I allowed to say that I really like this article?
You could.
You don't want me to, though.
No, right? You can say that. No, that's okay.
I used to say that all the time. I mean, we talk about things we enjoy reading.
We do. And this is by an article by Scott Tretiniero. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And we've talked about some of his articles before.
We're actually working to get him on our podcast. We really do need to get him on our podcast. We need to do an interview with him because I'd like for him to expand on some of these concepts, especially the stuff in this one, because this is really fascinating.
Yeah. And the reason it's difficult to get him, for us to work it out to get him on the podcast, is because he's actually from here in Florida. And so there's not this time difference.
Yeah, if we had 6 or 7 hours difference, it would be easier. But he's right here, so it's hard.
No,
he's in Southwest Florida.
He's in Southwest Florida. He runs a very busy practice. And so, he has a dental practice. So he thinks about emotions, and he's talking about this stuff. And while working as a dentist.
As a dentist, he should know about emotions.
Right. Yeah.
So dentists scare us to death. So we experience all sorts of emotions except happiness when we go to the dentist.
That's right.
Unless we don't have cavities.
That's right.
But no, this is really interesting stuff. As a dentist, he'd be busy most days.
But we're working to get him on the on the podcast. So, but he talks about emotions here. And I really like some of the things that he talks about because, you know, he says it's the beginning of the second paragraph. He says, by nature, human beings are first and foremost emotional creatures.
And that's where I started with this whole thing. That we are first and foremost emotional creatures because they are... Why is it? There's 4 points that he makes. Mm-hmm. One is, our emotions keep us alive.
Right.
Back to Darwin.
There we go.
Okay. Second, our emotions influence our value system.
Right.
We do the things we do because of the emotions that those things produce in us.
And we talked about that in the last podcast.
Sometimes
those things are typical things that everybody enjoys. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But sometimes those things are things that are stimuli or experiences that cause negative emotions to other people. Mm-hmm. So it's not universal, but it does sort of fuel our value system.
Right.
Yeah.
And emotions drive our behavior.
Right.
We do certain things because of the emotions that they produce.
Right.
Or the emotion that we're trying to achieve.
Right.
So they drive our behavior.
And if you think about that just a little bit, you can see how you can tie emotions to just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you eat poorly because it creates a physiological response in your body that you interpret as happiness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, cake tastes good. Mm-hmm. It gives you sugar. The chocolate in it gives you some nice little chemical burst in your brain that makes you feel good, makes you feel happy, makes you feel satisfied, and so you are more likely to eat sugar.
Krispy Kreme donuts do that to people. They produce that.
That's right.
Feeling of satisfaction.
Yeah. And so when we think about, I think about patients that I talk to, you know, well, we need to work on your diet. Let's see if we can change this. Oh, well, you can't take away this. You can't take away my dairy.
Okay, I got to have that.
I got to have cheese.
I gotta have ice cream.
Okay. I got to have ice cream. I got to have this. I got to have that. Right. Okay. So what you've done is you've connected a very positive emotion to the experience.
Right.
It's not surprising that people who are depressed, many people who are depressed will increase their intake, their diet of certain types of foods because, again, they're associating depression relief or anxiety relief, stress relief with some of those kinds of feelings that they get from their food.
Mm-hmm. Or it just makes them feel better.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason.
Right. So that association of emotion with behavior is closely tied with almost every behavior that we have.
That's right. And it also, the fourth point he makes, is that our habits, our routines, our attitudes, our perceptions – virtually all aspects of our life are influenced by our emotions. Okay, I think of habits, you know, mm-hmm. routines. You and I are in a routine right now.
Right.
And I think if we broke that routine, it would make us uneasy.
Right.
Because we want to avoid uneasy, we keep doing the routine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, that is rooted early in life. You know, it's not off topic, but it's related.
I'm used to it.
Stick with me for just a second. We've talked before. We used to do this other podcast called the Paideia Education right. Podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about educational issues and everything there. And one of the things that we talked about in one of those podcasts is how to talk to your kid about school, right. especially early on. Mm-hmm. If a parent from early on, from pre-K even, or kindergarten or first grade, but if a parent early on uses negative types of words or talks about school in a somewhat right. of a negative way, mm-hmm. that's going to contribute to a kid who doesn't really like right. going to school.
Right.
You know, if school is difficult, that's going to make it, the kid not want to go to school that much. If the kid has problems with social relationships or with the teacher, that's going to do it. But even just assigning negative emotions
right.
to some events like that, like going to school, is going to potentially lead to the kid not wanting right. to go to school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think, like, for me, school was always one of my most favorite things. I like going to school.
How did your mother talk about school?
I don't know. She must have talked about it positively because I really liked going to school.
Yeah, because, yeah.
And you know, so I talk to, you know, when I talk to kids now, I say, are you, you know, hey, school's going to start back, mm-hmm. You know, as it's getting to August. And, right. you know, school starts back in about a week. What do you
Get
think?
Excited.
And they're like, oh, it's terrible. You know, it's, what are you talking about? There's so many things that you get to do
right.
at school.
Right.
And that negative flip to it, mm-hmm. that negative association with it,
right.
you know, many times is derived from those early emotional experiences that you have
right.
with it.
That you associated with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, again, what he's talking about here is this association between, you know, how you're labeling or how you're identifying some of these events mm-hmm. and the decisions that you make is going to be based upon the emotions that you experience with it.
You're right. And he's putting emotions at the center, and right. I think rightfully so.
Right.
I think he's putting emotions at the center of our life. Like you said, first and foremost,
right.
we are emotional creatures. But in this article, Scott makes three, I think, fascinating points. Okay. The points of discussion we could talk about forever. But he makes three fascinating points. The first one is, do we really have free will?
Oh.
Right? Am I making all these decisions? What he argues is, he's not sure that we have free will. He said, are we just expressing what's already inside us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In other words, I say, well, I'm choosing this because I have made that independent decision. And mm-hmm. he's saying, no. This is who you are. This is mm-hmm. this is the emotion, and right. you're simply expressing that by choosing that thing.
Right.
There's.
We could talk about that one forever. I love the topic of free will.
Right.
Because, you know, when you think you're right, and as Scott wrote out that association of emotion, and emotion guides drives some of those behaviors and decisions. So. Are you deciding to do that, or are your emotions driving you to do it?
Which are subconscious.
Right.
Okay, we discussed that mm-hmm. a couple days ago, that these are subconscious processes.
Right.
So we're not fully aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
And are we simply giving expression to the emotions mm-hmm. that are already inside of us, or are we making these decisions of our own free will?
Right.
Interesting chicken and egg
yeah.
sort of question.
Yeah.
So the fact that he brought up this issue of free will, I never thought about emotions and free will
yeah.
being in the same sentence.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually, when I think about free will, one of the discussions I have with my students and stuff is more physiological.
Right.
Because I can, you know, I can remove a piece of your brain and now you're not going to be able to do some things that you right. think you can do
right.
under whatever, you know, right. just by making a decision to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So adding that emotional piece to it does add another layer.
It added
a whole
other layer that I had just never thought about that before.
Yeah.
But that's what Scott does.
Yeah.
He makes these little statements that
yeah.
get you thinking.
Yeah.
So think about free will. Second thing he says he brings up, and I had never seen this before, Wilhelm Wundt, yes, the famous physiological psychologist, mm-hmm, probably one of the first,
I think so,
psychologists, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, who said, we've been talking all week about emotions and how complicated a topic it is and how difficult it is to articulate exactly what an emotion is. And Wundt, way back in another century, said that emotions lack clearness. It's difficult to specify exactly what they are because, and again, something I never thought about, if we start to focus on the emotion, mm-hmm, it disappears. You stop feeling that because now you're doing something else.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
When you start analyzing in a cognitive way what this emotion is, you lose the emotion. The emotion degrades. It disappears.
Right.
It evaporates.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can't feel it anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can never really study it. It's like you can't put it under a microscope and keep it there.
Yeah.
It disappears while you're studying it.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a very interesting... And it leads to the problems that we have with studying.
Right.
We talked about
that.
We talked about that a couple of times.
How do you study motivation? Mm-hmm. You know, because as soon as you start, you know, the last is my favorite. The third is my favorite. And this is something that we need to talk about at length, whether we do it here or another time. That he differentiates feelings from emotions.
Right.
And that to me is the key, mm-hmm, issue in this article.
Okay. Yeah.
Feelings are subjective, mm-hmm, and they're unique to me. They're unique to the individual, and they're based on our life experiences.
Right.
You were saying in yesterday's podcast that people define events a certain way.
Right.
Riding a roller coaster, going through a haunted house, fighter pilots in dogfights at, mm-hmm, you know, supersonic speeds. The experience is unique. The feeling that I get is unique. Mm-hmm. The feeling that I get from watching a scary movie is a different feeling than you get. Mm-hmm. Or this other friend of mine that I was talking about, when she says she just gets exhilarated, mm-hmm, watching, mm-hmm, this. I get scared to death and have I don't anymore, but other people get scared to death and have nightmares. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are feelings.
Right.
Emotions are different.
Yeah.
Okay. Emotions are he refers to them as a built-in instinctual response.
Right.
Okay, so that would be like, mm-hmm, the early James back we are to James Lang and Cannon Bard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's basically saying that the emotions are what we use to create, to define the feelings.
That's right. And what he's saying is that if emotions aren't, because they exist independently, mm-hmm, if they're not released in a healthy way, they're going to cause us problems.
Right.
And this is where we get into anxiety or fear, mm-hmm, or whatever emotion you want to talk about, anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
If we don't release them in some constructive, positive way, they're going to do us harm. And who said that? Mm-hmm. Sigmund Freud.
Right.
You know, that was Freud's whole practice, was based on sublimating or developing other defense mechanisms for very strong emotions that were produced.
Right.
And if we didn't find a way to express them, and in Freud's day, women typically didn't have a way to express those.
Right.
They didn't have the ability to express them. It had nothing, because women didn't have rights in those days.
Right.
Okay. So they had no way to do that, so they converted them, mm-hmm, and they became physiologic problems.
Right.
And so he's saying that we have to learn how to, and this is what children are not good at.
Right.
Simply because they don't have enough practice.
Right. They don't have the experience.
They don't have the experience of it. So they have feelings, but they don't know what to do with them.
Right.
So they lash out, or they have a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic example of a child doesn't know what else to do with this feeling, so they express it as a temper tantrum.
Right.
Okay. They eventually learn how else to express it, mm-hmm, usually by using words. You know, you hear parents say, use your words.
Right.
Use your words.
Right.
And so he's saying we have to find a way to express emotions in a positive way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a great perspective of, and it leads right to what we've been talking about over the last couple of podcasts, and it gets us to, you know, okay, so what do emotions mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it means to you, is this connection between feelings and emotions, mm-hmm. and you know, that this is a natural state,
right.
for us. We are, mm-hmm. naturally emotional creatures,
mm-hmm.
and that those emotions really dictate everything that we do.
Right.
They dictate how we're interpreting the world, but how we interact with the world and everything.
That's right. And so from a practical standpoint, we have to separate feelings from emotions.
Right.
And most often, most people don't do that.
Right.
Okay. So we need to be more mindful of that. We've talked about this before, that when children get sassy with their parents,
yeah,
the parent feels anger.
Right.
But the real emotion is hurt.
Right.
And we talk to parents about, make sure you're identifying the right emotion.
Right.
And you don't react based on how you feel.
Right.
How you feel is anger. How you feel is you want to grab the kid and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's your feeling. What you want to do is you want to react to the accurate emotion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
Oh, I like this guy.
All right.
So, Scott, we'd love to have you come on the show.
That's right. So, all right. Well, that's it, right, for today.
For Scott.
We'll be back with, we have another topic for emotions too, but that will be next time. So until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.